Welcome to the Legacy Series of Growing Empires, a curated collection of standout episodes that have shaped the foundation of what we're building next. We're evolving. A new show is on the horizon, and it's designed for the sophisticated investors, capital allocators, and those looking to go deeper into strategies, structures, and market shifts behind today's most successful real estate syndications. While we prepare for a launch, we've handpicked some of our most powerful conversations to revisit. Whether you're discovering them for the first time or listening again with a fresh perspective, these episodes lay the groundwork for the future. And if you haven't already, join the Empire Investment Club at jenniferdejesus.com to get early access to future offerings, investor briefings, and behind-the-scenes insights from the new show. Let's dive in. Welcome to episode 3 of season 18 of the Growing Empire Show. Today, I'm here with my special guest, Nate Hare from Directed IRA. And we're going to talk about tax advantage strategies that you can use with your real estate investment. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Growing Empires, hosted by real estate entrepreneur and trusted investment advisor, Jennifer DeJesus. Growing Empires provides insight to building wealth through passive income-producing real estate investments for those who want to build and manage a more profitable real estate portfolio.
All right. Welcome, Nate, to the Growing Empire Show. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Let's kick off this episode with you sharing a little bit about your background and the work that you're doing now.
Sure. My name is Nate Hare. I'm the executive director at Directed IRA. We're a self-directed IRA company. I've been in the industry for about 12 years, which is an eternity for most people in the self-directed IRA industry because it's kind of a niche market. But prior to getting into this industry, I was in real estate, all fashions of real estate. I've had my real estate license. I've had my mortgage license. I did mortgages for about 7 years. I still have my mortgage license active, even though I don't use it. So long story short, I've been in and around all different types of facets of real estate ever since I got out of college. And now I'm actively teaching and educating people about how they can invest in real estate using retirement plans. And I get great passion from doing it.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to talk all about those IRAs and how to invest in real estate. And I have asked Nate to join me to share his wealth of knowledge that he's gained throughout the years on these subjects. So let's just jump right in here. Let's first talk about some of the key advantages for using real estate IRAs for investing in properties.
Sure. And, you know, for anybody listening, I feel like it's always, you know, beneficial to back up and just talk about IRAs investing in real estate, because that's like Chinese to most people. They're like, what do you mean an IRA can invest in real estate? I thought my IRA can only buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. This is what I thought prior to 2012 too. And this is what most Americans believe is the only investment option available to them in their retirement plan. And it's simply not true. When it comes to your retirement plan, whether it's a 401k, an IRA, a 403b, a TRS, a TSP, whatever type of retirement plan you have, the only restrictions the IRS gives us as far as investments is they don't want life insurance contracts or collectibles in your retirement plan. That's it. Anything else is fair game. So most people don't realize that because they have an IRA at Fidelity and Charles Schwab and their licensed securities brokers selling them traditional investments. They never realize that they can use their IRA to buy rental property, land, invest in partnerships, joint ventures, apartment buildings, commercial property. The list goes on and on. So what we do at Directed IRA is we allow people to use what we call self-directed retirement plans. And I'll define that as we go along. But retirement plans that allow you to hold what we call alternative investments, things that aren't tied to Wall Street. Now you ask, what are the benefits to owning real estate in a retirement plan? I'll say that there's many. If you think about, let's just say a rental property, for example, break it down real simply. If you're looking at an investment between a rental property and a stock, well, the biggest difference between a rental property and a stock is a rental property is tangible. Right? It's an investment I can drive by, I can touch, I can feel. A stock isn't necessarily tangible. When you think about investing into a company and a company goes bankrupt, there's nothing, you have no recourse if that investment goes bad. The one thing that I really like about real estate, whether it's in or out of an IRA, is the fact that real estate's tangible. Now, when you talk about tax savings, always remember an IRA is one of the tax vehicles the government gives us to help us save for retirement. And the way that they help us save for retirement is that as you buy and sell investments inside of an IRA or inside of a 401k, your IRA or 401k is not a taxpayer. So you can buy and sell stocks and you don't have to pay taxes on an annual basis. You can grow that account much faster than you could investing your personal funds into stocks. The same goes for real estate. I can buy and sell rental property or fix and flip property inside of a retirement plan. And because of how retirement plans work, I don't have to pay capital gains tax. I don't have to pay tax on rental income. I don't have to pay tax on any of the income stream when it comes to real estate, which allows me to grow a retirement plan much, much faster investing into those types of assets because the IRA is not a taxable person. It's a tax-exempt trust by nature. So whatever you invest in, just remember your IRA or 401k is going to grow faster than the money in your bank account simply because an IRA or 401k is not a taxpayer.
So for those that are new to the concept, what exactly is a self-directed IRA and how does that differ from traditional IRAs?
So a self-directed IRA, really self-directed is just a marketing term. It's not a type of IRA.
Okay.
And a lot of people get confused because they say, hey, Nate, I heard about a self-directed IRA, so I wanted to set one up with you guys. And then I called Vanguard and my guy at Vanguard said, oh, no, don't worry. We have a self-directed IRA. But it's self-directed in these wonderful mutual funds that they offer us. So self-directed, it's very loosely used. The reason why we use it as a marketing term, it's because when you set up an IRA or a 401k with us, we don't sell investments to our clients. Our clients have to tell us what those investments are, right? So that's why we call it self-directed, because we take the instruction of the client and the client has to really tell us what they want as far as the investment inside of their retirement plan. So that's where self-directed comes in. But if you look at our account types are no different than an account type at Fidelity or Charles Schwab. We have traditional IRAs that can be self-directed, Roth IRAs that can be self-directed. You've got employer plans like a SEP IRA or a 401k. We have those here. We even have non-retirement plans that can be self-directed, like health savings accounts and education savings accounts. But the accounts themselves are no different than the accounts that you would open at other institutions. We just call it self-directed because you have to tell us what you want to invest in.
And any of those accounts that are then self-directed are then able to be used to invest in real estate, correct?
Correct. Real estate, anything, basically anything you can hold title to can be owned in the name of your retirement plan. You just always have to work through a custodian to keep it as a retirement asset. So if you want to buy stocks and bonds, you have to work through Fidelity as your custodian. If you want to buy rental property or real estate, you have to work with through Directed IRA as the custodian.
Okay. You mentioned several types of other IRAs. Why don't we, before we get into the weeds here, why don't we break down some of those and kind of the differences between them? You mentioned a Roth IRA and, you know, there are some other ones. Why don't you kind of break those down and what's the major difference between all of them?
Sure. So the easiest way to break it down is to break it down, I think, into three categories. There's three categories of plans that you could self-direct or just establish anywhere else. The first category would be your personal plans. Personal plans can be set up by anybody that's got earned income. It doesn't even matter how old you are at this point. As long as you have earned income, you can make contributions to an IRA if it's a personal plan. And there's two personal plans, traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. The difference between the traditional and Roth is just the way that they're taxed. Most people understand this, but just if you don't, if you put money into a traditional IRA as a contribution, you get a tax deduction on that contribution. So you get to write it off. You get an immediate tax benefit by putting money into a traditional IRA. But what you really essentially are doing is you're kicking the tax down the street or kicking that can down the street, and you're going to pay the tax at a later date when you take the money out as a distribution. The Roth IRA is a personal plan that works the complete opposite. When I put money in a Roth IRA as a contribution, I do not get to take a tax deduction on that contribution. It's considered an after-tax contribution. I've already paid my taxes on that money. When I put it in, nothing happens. But the trade-off, I think, is really sweet, especially when you think about real estate as the asset class that you're thinking of. When a Roth IRA grows, it grows tax deferred, but if you meet certain criteria, being above the age of 59 and a half and having a Roth IRA established for 5 years, when you start to take distributions from that Roth IRA, the distributions are not taxed and the distributions are not penalized for the rest of your life. So if you're looking to grow a small bucket of money and grow it larger, I would say you want to do that in a Roth IRA. You don't want to create yourself more taxable income by growing a traditional IRA that's going to be taxed at some point. But those would be your two personal plans that you can establish and self-direct. If you're self-employed, you have an additional page on the menu, and that would be your employer plans, which include your SEP IRA and even your individual solo 401k. Now, these are for anybody who has, you know, some self-employment income. Maybe they have a side hustle. Maybe they're a CPA. Maybe they're a real estate broker. They work for themselves. You know, in most cases, you don't have employees. It's just you as the person running the company and being the only employee. So those are very, very advantageous plans if you're looking to shovel more money in, because you can make large contributions to those plans, much larger than you can with a personal plan. But they can also be self-directed. And if you're self-employed, we have a lot of people who are self-employed who have maybe a solo 401k for their business that they self-direct, but they also have a Roth IRA as well, because you can max out both plans as long as you have some self-employment income. And then you have the specialty plans, which are non-retirement plans, which again are tax advantage plans, but they fit the purpose of paying for health expenses with tax-free dollars and education expenses with tax-free dollars, education for kids or grandkids. And that would be your health savings accounts and your education savings accounts. So if you're really maximizing, I would say, the tax benefits of these plans, and you have the ability to grow these plans through real estate, not only can you grow and save for retirement completely tax-free, but you can also have your investments pay for current expenses when it comes to healthcare and education with tax-free dollars. And once you understand that playbook, you find that getting to retirement is a lot easier, and paying for expenses today is a lot easier when you stop giving most of your profit back to Uncle Sam.
Understood. So, and this is super helpful. So then what is the major difference between the 401k and the IRA?
So the 401k, it's just a little bit different in how it operates and who qualifies for one. Now, most people are familiar with just a 401k they have at a job, right? You've got a job, you work at Motorola, you know, you put money in, it comes out of your check, and maybe the employer, if they're nice, they match that contribution. So that's where most people get the idea of a 401k. When I talk of 401k with us, it's specifically called a solo 401k. Now, solo 401ks can be established for any small business owner or somebody that works for themselves who has no common law employees. What I mean by that is you have no W-2 employees other than you and maybe your spouse. Your spouse can be on payroll, but nobody else can be an owner or be on payroll. So it works very well for, again, those people that are just working for themselves, contractors and so forth. And as long as you've got some Schedule C or 1099 income, you can make large contributions to a 401k. Now, when I say large, I'm talking, I'll just give you the maximum. The max contribution you can make to a solo 401k would be $69,000 if you're under the age of 50. If you're over the age of 50, you can contribute up to $76,500. So it's a much, much larger contribution that you can make compared to just your personal plans like the traditional and the Roth, where you're limited to $7,000 or $8,000 a year. Now, I want to back up and just make sure people understand this. When I'm talking about contributions, that's how much you put in out of your pocket every year. When it comes to investment profit, that's unlimited. So people would say, well, Nate, if I have just a Roth IRA, let's say I can't use a 401k, how do I make $200,000 on real estate if I can only contribute $7,000 a year? Because $7,000 is what you put in as a contribution. $200,000 is investment profit. So you got to separate those two just to make sure. But going back to your original question, a 401k allows for larger contributions than an IRA. It also gives you a little bit more control. If you are self-directing and you want to, you know, invest in real estate, when you have a 401k is really established where you've got access to the checkbook as the business owner. So you don't have to work through us, the custodian, for each and every investment. So there's a little bit of ease of use for 401k owners, if they have one, to get investments out the door very quickly. And then the biggest one, which I don't want to go too in the weeds yet, mm-hmm. but there is a tax exemption that 401ks get that IRAs don't. And this is a concept where your IRA or 401k can actually buy real estate and borrow money at the same time, meaning there's banks out there that have loans that they will give, not to you as the person, but there's banks that will loan money to your Roth IRA or loan money to your 401k to help you buy real estate. In the IRA world, the IRA has to pay tax on the money it borrows, not the end of the world. I mean, you can borrow money. That's the cool thing. But a 401k, you don't even have to pay tax on the money you borrow. So that is really cool because not only do you make tax-free dollars on the money you put in, you make tax-free dollars on other people's money, which is the bank's money. So that's a cool thing. If you can qualify for a 401k, I think that it's probably the best vehicle on the planet to invest and grow it in real estate.
That's the 401k.
The 401k. Yeah, there's almost nothing that beats it.
The episode will continue in just a moment.
As an investor, we know it's important to stay on top of market trends and real estate opportunities that add value to your portfolio. We also know that having a trusted source of reliable information to help you stay a step ahead of other investors is critical to your success. If you're interested in having these types of resources, as well as access to me and my team, I invite you to join the Empire Investment Club, a free service that gives you an easier way to make sense of today's and tomorrow's real estate opportunities. As a member of the Empire Investment Club, you'll get access to relevant resources and investment-focused experiences such as live interactive webinars, market trend presentations, and investor socials designed to equip you with what you need to succeed. So whether you're an active investor, passive investor, a combination of both, or just starting out, the club is where you'll get what you need to build a portfolio you love. To join, just head over to jenniferdejesus.com, sign up, and we'll see you in the club, where everyone's on a journey to becoming a better investor.
So if you have a current employer plan, right, that, you know, your 401k is set up by your company and it does whatever it does, are you able to do something with that particular one or no, because it's currently active with the employer?
Most of the time, you're going to have a hard time moving money out of a 401k at a job you still work at.
Okay.
You can always ask them, though, and this is a very, very common question. We get it every single day. You have to have what's called separation of service in most cases in order for you to fully control the money in a 401k. Separation of service means I've left that company or I've retired. Then they really have no restraints on you from moving that money to a Fidelity IRA or to a directed IRA to buy real estate. But if you move money from, let's say, an old job before the current job, let's say you rolled in 100 grand from the previous job that you had and moved it into that 401k. Since you have separation of service from that job, you should be able to take that money out and roll it to an IRA of your choosing. But at the end of the day, the people that are going to make that decision is your plan provider or your job. So just pick up the phone, call them, ask them if you have in-service rollover options and what those in-service rollover options are.
Okay. And then going back to that 401k that maybe you have just kind of sitting idle from a previous employer, what are the options with that? Because it sounds like you can roll it into kind of anything. You can keep it as it is. You can potentially roll it into an IRA, right? Mm-hmm. And all of those can invest in real estate.
Yeah. So, and truthfully, most of our clients have multiple IRAs. You know, most people have, you know, they've left their job, they've got an old 401k that they've rolled over, but they don't just keep all their money at Fidelity in an IRA there or an IRA here. You can have as many IRAs as you want. There's no limit. I have a client that has 42 IRAs scattered all over the place with different types of investments in each of them. So I would say the majority of our clients have, you know, they roll their 401k into an IRA at Fidelity. They maybe leave some of their cash in a money market account. But the money that they want to invest in real estate, they have to move that here because Fidelity won't let them buy real estate in the IRA there. And you can move money back and forth between those two IRAs, depending on where you want to invest at that time. And transfers between IRAs are very easy. That literally takes a couple business days. And that's how most of our clients work, is just move money between like us and Fidelity, depending on what they want to invest in.
Oh, interesting. And I assume that there's no taxation on any of that if you're just moving it from IRA to IRA.
Yeah, it's not even reported to the IRS. IRS does not care if you're just moving money back and forth between different IRAs.
Okay. So I assume then if you're moving money from one to another, right, you never have to pay that money back, correct? It's not like you're taking a loan. You're just moving it to a different IRA.
Right. You're just moving it to a different IRA. And that's a good point that you bring up, because a lot of people think, oh, if I have a self-directed IRA, when I buy real estate, directed IRA is just going to give me the money and then I'm going to go run off and buy real estate with it. That's not what we do at all, because that would be treated as a distribution if we ever gave you the money out of your IRA. What we do is the same thing Fidelity does. When you buy a stock with Fidelity in your IRA, they exchange your IRA's asset of cash for an asset of a stock. They don't send you a wire and then you go to the New York Stock Exchange and go buy it yourself, right? They act as the buyer and the seller. You tell them when to buy or sell. We do the same thing, but just replace the word stock with real estate. We exchange assets of cash for assets of real estate. Now, how that's done, it's not giving you a distribution to go do it. It's you telling us, hey, directed IRA, I want to buy this rental property at this address. What do I need to provide to you so we can buy this in the name of my IRA? And we usually ask for an internal form that you fill out with any investment. And then we always need a copy of the contract, the sales contract, so that we can make sure that the IRA is listed as the buyer. We sign as the buyer, and voila, your IRA owns the rental property. It's not given to you till you go buy it. We buy it ourselves, but we buy it at your instruction.
Okay. And then I assume when you're taking profit distributions from the rental property that you just purchased, that money goes back into the IRA, correct?
Right. So if I own a rental property in my IRA, all the rents, all the investment benefit have to come back to the IRA first. I cannot pocket my IRA's profit because that's prohibited. How I get my benefit as the IRA's owner is from the distributions I take from the IRA. Just like the same thing at your Fidelity IRA. That's how you receive your benefit, is from the distributions. Now, obviously, it behooves you to wait to take distributions until 59 and a half, so you don't have to pay a 10% penalty. And if it's a Roth, you could take it out tax-free. But let me just give you a quick scenario so people understand that this is a good thing, that you want the income going back to your IRA first. Because remember, your IRA is not a taxpayer. I have a client that owns 12 rental properties in his Roth IRA. They are not owned by him personally. They're not owned by his personal LLC. They're owned by his self-directed Roth IRA, 12 rental properties. When the renters of those properties pay rent, they pay rent to the Roth. So that's roughly $20,000 of net rents that are coming into his Roth IRA every single month as profit. He's over 59 and a half. So what he does is he asks for a distribution from the IRA once the rents hit the account. Now, since it's a Roth IRA and he's had it over 5 years and he's above the age of 59 and a half, he pays not a dime in taxes every time he takes a distribution. The next month, he takes another $20,000 distribution. So every month, he gets to take $20,000 out from the rents that are coming back to the Roth IRA, and he pays a zero in taxes. When you look at his account value at the end of the year, even though he's taking over $200,000 of distributions tax-free, his account value increases every single year because he's never touching the principal of the property. The properties are increasing through the appreciation. So his account value goes up while he's living tax-free off the distributions, off the income that his Roth's making. So that is like the end goal that you want to try to get to, is have a Roth IRA. I'm just a big fan of the Roth. Have a Roth IRA with income producing assets that you can live tax-free off the distributions of those assets, and you never have to do an investment in your name again as a taxpayer. And the IRS hates it, because they never get to tap the in. They never get any of that money. Trust me, they do not like people with large Roth IRAs because of that reason. But guess what? They made the playbook. We're just reading the plays.
Thank you for listening to part one of our four-part episode with Nate Hare. And as you can tell from the first episode, Nate has an incredible amount of information to share. And we are going to continue in the next couple of episodes talking about more tax deferment strategies and how to use your IRAs to really supercharge your retirement. Make sure you stay tuned. And until next time, take care.
For more information about how Jennifer can help you plan, develop, and manage a strong real estate investment portfolio, visit growingempires.com.